Minig of Rabbi Bleich, as you will find out, I like to make you aware of some helpful kitzes svarim, which are, will be helpful not only for complimentary to our limud now, but for your limud later on in the Rabbanus, beyond this, beyond the fourth Yechalom Maisa. So the first sefer which I'd like to make you aware of is Rabbi Bechafer's sefer, Contemporary Halachas of Contemporary Erevin, which is in English, a nice little kuntres, about 100 pages. Has very nice topics that come up with regards to contemporary Erevin. It's not comprehensive, but it's very helpful. Rabbi Eider also has a little kuntres called Hilchos Erevin, which is also, again, a more practical topics that come up in contemporary Erevin. There's also Rabbi Jachter has a nice, in one of the Gray Matters, has a nice section also about certain topics. He did his own research into other topics which you won't find in other Svarim. Which is also very helpful. You have, of course, Rabbi Simon Sefer, which is available in the other Beis Medrash currently, if you'd like to go get the Sefer. Also, he only deals with the kind of with the practical issues that come up in Erevin. He doesn't deal with everything comprehensively. What does deal with everything comprehensively is Dayan Bloy's Nesiva Shabbos, which is extremely helpful, and you should, it's kind of everyone to the background of everything, you should definitely get that Sefer. It's very helpful. The purpose of every Chazar Shir, as you'll find out from Yetz Hashem as we go through the fourth year, my purpose in every Chazar Shir is slightly different depending on the section and the way that each individual Rebbe gives a Shir. With regards to Hilchas Erevin, what we're going to try and do is go through kind of the basics in Shulchan Aruch, which Rav Shechter really takes for granted. He assumes that you know what it says in the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, and he kind of starts from there. So we're going to try and fill in that... That assumption. Also, I'd like to, during the Chazar Shir, at least for Hilchos Erevin, try and fill in some Hashmatos, things that Rav Shechter mentioned 1 year, he didn't mention this year. And also, and this is a main point, which is kind of a running theme of mine, which is to round out your view of Hilchos Erevin, not necessarily, of course, in the fourth year, our Psak, final Psak, will follow the Rav Shechter. But it's important to be aware of when you leave here to know what other poskim say and what is taken for, assumption of many other poskim outside of YU besides of Shechter, so that you can be knowledgeable about that as well, and not only kind of have the myopic view of coming from learning Hilchos Erevin with Rav Shechter. This kind of hakadama, which is that there are two attitudes and sensitivities in the community at large with regards to Hilchos Erevin, and it's important to be aware of both of them, and it's important to be sensitive to both of them. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Erevin that one time that they used to wash, we'll talk about it in Hilchos Mila, they used to wash a baby before Bris Mila and after Bris Mila in hot water as an antiseptic. And one time it happened that the hot water spilled. So they needed to bring hot water from a different place to the place where they were doing the Bris Mila. But there was no air, so they wanted to bring the hot water from one place to the other place. So Abaye, Rabba said to Abaye, who was his Talmud, he said, go get hot water from the other house. So Abaye told him, I guess Abaye was the Rav in the town, Abaye told him, we don't have an Erev in this town. I can't bring hot water from that house to this house to use for the Bris Mila. So the Mordechai and that Gemara and the Tshuvas HaRosh expands upon this concept, writes that it sounds like Rabba was criticizing Abaye. He said to him, go get water from the other house. So Abaye told him, we don't have an Erev. So kind of like Rabba was disappointed in him. What do you mean? He assumed that he had an Erev. He didn't ask, do you have an Erev here? He assumed that, of course, there is an Erev in the town. So the Mordechai writes, and the Rosh underscores this point, that it's one of the responsibilities of the Rav in the town to make sure that there is an Erev in the town. And as a community, we should make sure that there's an Erev so that people are not nirshol in Hotzah and Shabbos. So on the one hand, you have an attitude and a sensitivity that people will go to great lengths to make an Erev, and many people will rely, Rabbanim will rely on many coolers to make sure that there is an Erev in the town. At the same time, the Mishnah says in Maseches Erevin that an ir shel rabim, a city which was all Rishus HaRabim, ein ma'arvin es kula. If it was once a Rishus HaRabim, and then they put an Erev around the whole thing, and now the whole thing is a Rishus HaYochid, you shouldn't make the whole town a Rishus HaRabim. You should leave out a part of the town that's still... You shouldn't make the whole thing a Rishus HaYochid. You should leave out a part of the town that's still a Rishus HaRabim. Why? Shelo tishtakach toras Erev. Shelo tishtakach toras Hotzah. So that people should not forget that there is an Iser of Hotzah. If let's say this whole town will now become Rishus HaYochid, at one point there's Rishus HaRabim, people will forget that there's an Iser of Hotzah. They'll be very cavalier about the Iser of Hotzah. Rav Moshe in his tshuva about Manhattan, which if you'll read it, you'll notice, we're going to talk about some of his objections to the Erev in Manhattan. None of them are what you would have thought. one of Ramosha's major objections was many tourists come to Manhattan, and the Jews of Manhattan are frum, so they're going to see that the frum Jews, if you make an Erev in Manhattan, they'll see that the frum Jews of Manhattan carry on Shabbos. And then they'll go back to their hometowns and they say, what are you talking about? In the major metropolis for Judaism, Manhattan, Jews carry on Shabbos. And they'll say, in our town, a little Timbuktu, of course we can carry on Shabbos. And they won't know that it's because there's an Erev in Manhattan. So Moshe says, I can't make an Erev in Manhattan because of all the tourists who will come and will think that you're allowed to carry on Shabbos. Shol tishtakach Torah Sotza. It used to be, and Rav Shachter made reference, he alluded to this, that at least when I came to Hawaii, there was no Erev that went across Amsterdam Avenue, where Baron Soloveitchik wouldn't allow it. And then when Baron Soloveitchik passed away, so they made the Erev cross Amsterdam Avenue. It took a few years, maybe 2 years. And then across Amsterdam Avenue. But before, when Baron Soloveitchik was alive, and there was no Erev across Amsterdam Avenue, there was only one on the YU campus on the other side of Amsterdam to get to the door, to get to the cafeteria. But for many people who came from out of town, they never heard of the Isser Hava Hotza. They were never in a town which didn't have an Erev. They never experienced it. What do you do with the key? It was a big tumult. So because people never heard of it. In a lot of towns, you never have people they're not aware even of the Isser Hava Hotza. So that was one of Ramosha's concerns with making an Erev in Manhattan, was that this would get washed over. In fact, that's why the Breuer's community, at least historically, was opposed to making an Erev in Manhattan. Now they say, oh, Ramosha didn't allow it, so they hide behind Ramosha. But in Schwab Sefer on Chumash, in the Mayim Beis HaShoeva, in Parshas Vayakel, he writes a similar idea. He says, Chazal went to such great lengths to protect the Yisrof Hotzah. They even prohibited us from taking lulav on Sukkah Shechalias B'Shabbos, or blowing Shofar on the Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos. Why? Maybe someone will carry it out Amos B'Shus HaRabim to a Bucky to learn how to blow Shofar. How often did that happen? How many people are going to be nichshol in this? One in how many? But nonetheless, they prevented all of Klal Yisrael from blowing tekiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos to protect the Yisrof Hotzah. So you see how far you have to go to protect the Yisrof Hotzah. So if Schwab said you shouldn't make an Erev in Manhattan because people will be nichshol in the Yisrof Hotzah. Anyway, but in the Sefer Divrei Menachem, which is Menachem Remendel Kasher's Sefer on Shailos and Tshuvas, he has in the back a kuntres, which Rav Shechter also alluded to, on making an Erev in Manhattan. So he quotes a letter from Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was opposed to this whole style of thinking. He said, what are you talking about? We have to be machmir not to make an Erev. He said, other rabbi, part of the responsibility of the people of the town is to make sure there is an Erev so people are not nichshol in the Yisrof Hotzah. So you have both of these sensitivities and both of these attitudes, and there's a place for both of them, and one should be sensitive and aware of both of these attitudes. But let's start with the Shulchan Aruch Shin Mem Hei. We'll try and go outside of the Shulchan Aruch, and then we will digress, but at least we'll start at the beginning. The Shulchan Aruch, at the beginning of Shin Mem Hei, delineates for us that there are four Rishuyos on Shabbos. Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid, Karmelis, and HaMakom Ptur. Midah Orai, so there are only two Rishuyos. Or three. Two or three, not four. What do I mean, two, maybe three? Well, Rishus HaRabim is clearly a Rishus Orai, so Rishus HaYochid is also a Rishus Orai. And then Midoraisa, everything that's not a Rishus HaYochid, which has its own definition, and everything that's not a Rishus HaRabim, which also has its own definition, what is everything that doesn't fit into every other definition? It's not a Rishus HaYochid, it's not a Rishus HaRabim, so Midoraisa, everything else is a Makom Ptur. But there's a machlokes, or a subtle machlokes, between the Bavli and Yushalmi, is a Makom Ptur a Rishus, or is a Makom Ptur just everything that's not a Rishus? Meaning everything is not a Rishus HaYochid, everything is not a Rishus HaRabim is by default a Malkom Tor, but a Malkom Tor doesn't have its own identity, or no. Midoraisa, there are three Rishuyos. There's Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, and Malkom Tor. Why do I say this? Because the Gemara, the Bavli, and Shabbos, and the Vavim and Aleph, so the Gemara says that there are lists of Rishuyos of Shabbos, and one of them is a Malkom Tor. So it sounds like Malkom Tor is a formal Rishus. However, the Yushalmi, when it quotes the same Brisa that there are four Rishuyos on Shabbos, leaves out a Malkom Tor. Sounds like Malkom Ptur is not a Rishus at all. Malkom Ptur is default. Whatever is not in the other categories is by definition is Malkom Ptur, but it's not that Malkom Ptur is a formal Rishus b'fnei atzmo. So Menachem Zemben, a Sefer and classical Sefer and Hotzah, the Totzos Chaim, writes that he thinks there's a machlokas between the Bavi and the Yushalmi. Is Malkom Ptur a Rishus, or is Malkom Ptur just, if we were speaking in Lumdisha terms, we would call the E Rishus? Whatever is not Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid, is by default a Malkom Ptur. So that's why I say there are two Rishuyos, perhaps, or maybe even three Rishuyos on Shabbos that are Doraisa, Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, certainly, and maybe even a Makom Ptur. Midrabanan, they took most of the Makom Pturs and they created this fourth Rishus on Shabbos called called Carmelis. Carmelis, what is a Carmelis? So if you look through the Shulchan Aruch carefully, you'll notice that the theme of a Carmelis is the following. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Mem Hei, Sif Yud, and Yud Aleph, so Shulchan Aruch tells you a Yam and a Bika are a Carmelis. A Yam and a Bika are not a Rishus HaRabim, they have no Mechitzos, and it's not a Rishus HaRabim because you don't have significant traffic in a Yam and a Bika. So it's a Carmelis. A Carmelis seems to be, and this is the definition of a Carmelis, is a Makom Tur that has a Sheer Makom. It's a Makom Tur, but it's Dalet al Dalet Tvachim. That's a Carmelis. A Makom Tur that remains a Makom Tur is something that's not a Rishus HaYochid. It's not a Rishus HaRam. It doesn't have Mechitzos and P. There's no significant traffic on it, and it's less than Dalet al Dalet. By and large, that's the definition of a Makom Tur. So let's say your classical example, there are exceptions to the rule, but that's the rule. So let's say your classical example of a Makom Tur would be, let's say, a fire hydrant or the top of a parking meter. That's not a Rishus HaRabim. Why not? Because if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Aleph, you'll see that the Shulchan Aruch describes things. What's the status of other items in Rishus HaRabim? So Shulchan Aruch says, if it's below 3 tefachim to the ground, that the people in the Rishus HaRabim trample on it, that becomes part of the Rishus HaRabim. If you put a little step stool in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, the step stool is also part of the Rishus HaRabim. If it's raised out of the Rishus HaRabim 10 tefachim, and it's 4 by 4 wide, that's a Rishus HaYochid. Let's say it's less than 10 if it's solid and has walls. If it's less than 10 tefachim, but big, greater than 3 tefachim, then it depends. If it's 4x4 wide, that's a Carmelis. If it's not 4x4 wide, then that would be a Makom Tur. So a fire hydrant is a protrusion in the middle of Rishus HaRabim that's more than 3 Tvachim off the ground, and is less than Dalet Tvachim by Dalet Tvachim, so that's a Makom Tur, or the top of a parking meter. The Shulchan Aruch does say in Sif Yud there is an exception to that rule of things that are protruding out of Rishus HaRabim, that if it's 9 Tvachim tall, exactly 9 Tvachim, then people adjust their packages on it. It becomes mishamish to the Bnei Rishus HaRabim. You look over there, the Mishnah Berurah tells you it has to be exactly 9 tefachim tall. But if it's less than that, or more than that, would already be maybe a Rishus HaYochid. But if it's less than that, and it's 4x4 wide, it's a Carmelis, and if it's less than 4x4 wide, it would be a Makom Tur. So we'll go through the Rishuyos, that's the basic rule, that there are 4 Rishuyos and the basic definition of each one. We'll start going through each Rishus on its own, and then we'll come to some more general issues. So the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Shin Mem Hei starts with Rishus HaYochid. Basic definition of what is a Rishus HaYochid is an area that's 4x4 wide, that has mechitzos that are 4x4 tefachim wide, that has mechitzos that are 10 tefachim tall. If it's not 4x4 tefachim wide, even though it has mechitzos that are 10 tefachim tall, that's not a Rishus HaYochid. That would be a Makom Tur. So the Mishnah Berurah over here, Shin Mem Hei Sif Katan Gimel, has the Machlokas HaRishonim. What's the story about the walls? Are the walls mitzarif to the shear of 4x4? I mean, let's say you have like this. You have an umgud. That's bad example. An amud, which is, this whole thing is 4 tefachim wide, but the inside is only 3. So is this area Rishus HaYochid or not? It's 4x4 tefachim wide with the walls. If you don't include the width of the walls, it's only 3 tefachim wide. So is that called the Rishus HaYochid or not? So he quotes Machlokes HaRishonim. Then the Mishnah Berurah says a pshara, or a compromise, or maybe everyone would agree to this, in the name of the Rashba, that if it's Roy Lumeinach Alei Amidi, this is strong enough to support something on top, so then at least on top over here, everyone would agree it's a Rishus HaYochid. Because that's like a tail. That's like a solid item, which is Yud Tvachim Tum, 4x4 wide. So everyone would agree up here is Rishus HaYochid. But there's a machlok, it's down here. Is this area Rishus HaYochid because of you can include the width of the walls, is that area not considered to be a Rishus HaYochid? So that's the Yud Tvachim Tum, the Yud Tvachim Tum, and 4 Tvachim wide. How many mechitzos do you need? So the Bir Halacha at the beginning of Simen Reish Samach Gimel, Shin Samach Gimel, quotes a machlokas about this. Some say you need 3 walls midaraisa. Some say you need 4 walls midaraisa. And then the Bir Halacha has a machlokas, a stira within the Rambam. Is it 3 or 4? One place the Rambam seems to say it's 3, and the other place the Rambam seems to say it's 4. And the Bir Halacha quotes from, I think, from the Rashba that has a yishuv to this stira that depends what it opens up into. If the three walls open up into a karmelis, that's enough to make it a rishus halacha. Meaning, if you have three walls like this, and what's over here is a karmelis, so that's a rishus halacha midaraisa. But if this is not a karmelis, if this is a rishus harabim, so then three walls is not enough. Then you need a fourth wall. But if it opens up into a karmelis, so then three walls would be enough. The Mishnah Berurah then has his machlokas to be halacha. Has his machlokas to be chazon ish. Which Shechter mentioned, I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood what the Bir Halacha was trying to say, what the Chazon Ish disagreed about. The Bir Halacha says, this case, if you have two walls, but you have a lechi over here, a lechi midoraisa is a mechitza. Midorabanan, we don't allow it to be used as a mechitza, it's a separate issue. But a lechi midoraisa is a mechitza. So Mishnah Berurah says, if you have two walls, and a lechi, so the midoraisa, this is a rishus hayachi. The problem is, the Mishnah Berurah said, this whole area is a rishus hayachi midoraisa. And the Chazon Ish disagreed that if this is 90 degrees or more, so then you can't draw two imaginary lines. If it would be 90 degrees, that's where Shechter made his mathematical point. If it's less than 90 degrees, and the Chazon Ish said, I can imagine one wall like this. But if it's 90 degrees or more, if it's like this, so then I can imagine a line like that, but you can't imagine lines like this. You can't imagine a whole story. If it's missing one bar, then you can imagine that bar, but you can't start imagining one or more bars. More than one bar, that's too much. So that's what the machlok seen the Chazon Ish, and the Mishnah Berurah, the Chazon Ish felt if it was a 90 degree angle, kamin gam, so then this part would be a rishus hayochid, but not this part. And the Mishnah Berurah assumed everything was a rishus hayochid.
That was but if that's in a karmelis, then it wouldn't matter.
No, karmelis three wall. No, that's what we said. If it opens up to Rishus HaRabim, again, there's a machlokas HaRishonim independent of the Rambam, right. Three or four. Then there's a contradiction within the Rambam. So the Bir Halacha is his yisha for that contradiction. But let's say three is enough, midarai. So let's assume three is enough. What if I have two and a lechi? So then the question is, okay, that's good enough. The lechi is good enough, midarai. So good enough for what? To make a diagonal or to make a... To box off everything else. There are three basic types of mechitzas. There is a charitz. A charitz is the side of a... I think Shechter gave the example with the desk. It's the side of a cliff. Then you have an amud. An amud is a platform, a solid platform. And then you have a mechitza, which is a wall. Shechter quoted his Chacham Tzvi that you can switch off. Almost every Erev switches off between these three types of mechitzas. So you can switch from a charitz to an amud, to a mechitza, and the Chacham Tzvi wasn't sure whether or not you could switch from between all three, but we, of course, paskin that you can switch between all three. There is another type of mechitza, which I don't know if Rav Shechter spoke about, which is called a tel hamislaket. Can you talk about this? Tel hamislaket is a platform like this. It's like an amud, but if it could, it's a sloped hill. So a sloped hill, a tel mislaket, is considered to be a mechitza if it goes up 10 tefachim within 4 amos. If it goes up 10 tefachim within 4 amos, which if you're into math is like a 22 and a half degree angle. So if it's like a 22 degree angle, so then that is a steep enough angle that goes up 10 tefachim every 4 amos would be considered a mechitza. If it's less than that, it's not a good mechitza. More than that, of course, it would be a good mechitza. So that is something that comes up in contemporary Erevin. But it's hard to use for a few reasons. Number one, it's a difficult mechitza to use in an Erev. Lots of times Rabbanim like to use it. The reason why rabbis like to use natural walls as Erevin is because they're cheap. It doesn't cost any money. Every Tzuas HaPesach costs money. This costs nothing. So if you can use natural walls, matovim anoyim. The problem is, if you have a cliff, let's say... Like over here, Laurel Hill Terrace, you have a free fall afterwards. Okay, it's easy. Or by the train over here. So there you have a big rock. So, okay, that's not going to change. This, first of all, you have to get out someone, a surveyor, to measure it. Sometimes it's obvious. A lot of times it's not so obvious. 22 and a half degrees is more steep than you would think. So first you have to have someone come out, and it has to be continuous at that slope. Sometimes it goes like this, and like this, and like this. So it isn't so difficult. And that can change. The free fall Laurel Hill Terrace is not changing. This could erode further and the bottom could give away, or it could even out. So it's something that's a little bit more a little bit more difficult. And the other problem with the Tel Mislake is if Schefter has quoted in the past, but it's a bigger machlokas. He quotes it as 2 days in the Beis Shlomo, but others quote it as a machlokas in the Magen Avraham, the Marshal, which is we don't know where the mechitza begins and ends. If you have a tail, for example, you have a tail like this. So then you make, I'll give it better again. Let's say you have like this. You have a tail. It's hard to draw on the board, especially for I'm a handicapped drawer. So if you have over here, you have a tail. So I make my mechitza. I start my mechitza here, and my other mechitza here. The problem is, if you have a tail, a mislake, it goes like this. So where does the mechitza start? Does the mechitza start over here, or does the mechitza start up here where it's 10 tefachim tall? See, a tail, it's all in the same spot. The mechitza, it's right here. So as long as my mechitza picks up from the tail, I'm okay. But if your thing goes like this, so it's a machlokas, what's the status of this part? Is this part not a Rishus HaYachid? The Rishus HaYachid starts here, the mechitza starts down here. So you say, what difference does it make? Well, the difference makes if my mechitza, let's say I have my pole of my Tursa Pesach here. So if it's close to the bottom, but it's not close to the top, because it might slope like this or something. So it's close to the bottom of the hill, but it's not close to the top of the hill. So if there's a 10 amma break between this and this, then that's too big of a break. Just because it's close to the bottom doesn't necessarily mean that it's close to the top. So we should try and be machmir for both opinions. So that's why the tail mislaket is a little bit more difficult to use, because you have to join up the mechitzas with both the top, meaning the top of the 10th tefachim. I don't have to join up at the top of the mountain, but it has to join to the top of the 10th tefachim part of the tail mislaket. So let's say you have a mountain that I want to use, and at the bottom it's not so steep, and then all the way at the top it gets very steep. So then my mechitza would have to join with the top part, where it gets to be 10 tefachim within 4 amos. It wouldn't be good enough to join it with the bottom part. So that's why those types of natural mechitzas are somewhat a little bit more difficult to work with. The other another type of mechitza which you could use, which I've recently learned many rabbanim like to use, is bushes. You can use bushes as a mechitza. It comes up in the Mishnah Berurah. If there's lovet between all the branches, so then you can use a bush as a mechitza. Just the post can point out that you have to have lovet all the way down to the bottom. Lots of times you have bushes that there's lovet all the way in the bush, but as you get down to the bottom, you have stems, and there's no lovet. So if that's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, we're not going to talk about mechitza tluya now. Today, Rosh Hashanah dealt with it at length. But if you have a mechitza that starts more than 3 tefachim off the ground, so then that's not a good mechitza. So if your bushes don't have lovet all the way to, they don't have lovet between the branches, to within lovet to the ground, so then you have a problem with that bush. That bush wouldn't be any good. So the bushes have to be lovet all the way to the within lovet to the ground, then it would be a good mechitza. If not, if it's just the lovet on top, more than 3 tefachim off the ground, then that isn't a good mechitza. Also, if it blows back and forth in the wind, so I have other issues with the bushes. Personally, I'm not a big fan of natural mechitzas, because they change, and people don't assume that they change, and you don't know that they change. Let's say a guy trims his hedges. So there went our mechitza, and it's crazy. So I think it's a little bit risky, but there are rabbanim who do it. There are a few unique properties of a Rishus HaYachid, 4 to be exact, which if you read through the Shulchan Aruch, you'll pick them up, but we'll point them out more in an organized fashion. The first unique property of a Rishus HaYachid is mentioned here in the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Mem Hei, at the end of Sif Yud Tes, where he discusses the fact that you can't have another Rishus inside of a Rishus HaYachid, what I like to call Bito Rishus. You can't have a fire hydrant in my backyard, is not a Makom Ptur. Rishus HaYachid eats everything up that's inside of it. There's no karmelis in the middle of a Rishus HaYachid. If you have a Rishus HaRab in the middle of a Rishus HaYachid, then it's not a Rishus HaYachid. So if it's a Rishus HaYachid, there is no other Rishus in the middle of a Rishus HaYachid. Which is not true by a karmelis, and it's not true by Rishus HaRabim. As we mentioned, you can have a fire hydrant in a Rishus HaRabim that's a Makom Ptur, but that does not happen by a Rishus HaYachid. The second unique property to Rishus HaYachid is mentioned here by the Shulchan Aruch Sivvav, which is that Kalim can be a Rishus HaYachid. Let's say a refrigerator that's outside of my house. A refrigerator box that's outside of my house. That can be a Rishus HaYachid. If it has the midos of Rishus HaYachid, if it's 10 tefachim tall and 4 by 4 tefachim wide, that can be a Rishus HaYachid. The Shmir Shabbos Kochasa discusses whether or not a table can be a Rishus HaYachid. Because he says, even though it doesn't have walls, maybe we should view the table as 4 tables, Tzuras HaPesachs. I don't think Rav Shechter would go for that, but he opens up that possibility that even a table could be considered a Rishus HaYachid. But Kalim cannot be a Rishus HaRabim. If they walk on the Kalim, then it's bottle to the Rishus HaRabim, but then it's insignificant. But Kalim, you can't have a refrigerator be part of a Rishus HaRabim. What about a Karmelis? So the Mishnah Berurah over there, Sifkat and Tez Zayin, quotes from the Rishonim that you can't have a Karmelis be Kalim either. They were never gozer Karmelis on Kalim. Karmelis is a Gzeir Midrabbanan, it's a creation Midrabbanan. They were never gozer Karmelis on Kalim. So Kalim can be a Rishus HaRabim, a Rishus HaYachid, cannot be a Rishus HaRabim, and would not be a Karmelis either, because they never formulated the Gzeir of Karmelis with regards to Kalim. They're too movable and significant for the Gzeir Midrabbanan of Karmelis to take effect. There is a Machlokas, though, over there in the Shairat Tzion, of Kut and Tezvav, where the Shairat Tzion says, well, what about if you have a refrigerator in the Rishus HaRabim, or a kli in the Rishus HaRabim, a refrigerator, let's say, in the Rishus HaRabim. You have it, I'm sure, all the time. Super puts out a big refrigerator box. So it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground. So that's not a Rishus HaRabim. And it's not a Karmelis, and Karmelis Bekalim. So it's not if it's 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim tall, it could be Rishus HaYochid. But if it's not 4 tefachim wide, or it's not 10 tefachim tall, it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, but it's not 10 tefachim tall, not 4 by 4 wide. So what is it? It's not a Karmelis, and Karmelis Bekalim. It's not a Rishus HaRabim, it's more than 3 tefachim by Rishus HaRabim. It's not a Rishus HaYochid, it doesn't have the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. So what is it? So that's what the Shairat Tzion discusses over there. So he quotes a Yesh Omrim that it's a Makom Ptur. Because it can't be a Karmelis, it can't be Rishus HaYochid, it can't be Rishus HaRabim, so it's a Makom Ptur. And then the Shairat Tzion quotes from a Meiri that it's not a Makom Ptur either. Because a Makom Ptur also has some standards. You can't just throw everything into be a Makom Ptur. So a Makom Ptur also has standards. So it's not a Makom Ptur. It comes back to be a Rishus HaRabim. If there's no Karmelis Bekalim, there's no Makom Ptur Bekalim either. So it's not a Makom Ptur, it's not a Rishus HaYachid. It must be that it reverts back to be a Rishus. It must be that it reverts back to be a Rishus HaRabim. So I thought that issue in the Shairat Tzion, whether or not you can have a Makom Ptur on Kalim, just like I can't have Karmelis Bekalim, can I not have a Makom Ptur on Kalim? Or no, perhaps whatever just doesn't fit into every other category automatically becomes a Makom Ptur. Makom Ptur doesn't get to have standards, doesn't have rules and regulations. Could be echoes of that discussion that Rabbi Nachum Zemba had, which is a Makom Ptur a Rishus, or is a Makom Ptur just the bin for everything that's not a Rishus HaRabim, not a Rishus HaYochid, not a Karmelis, automatically becomes a Makom Ptur. So if it can have its own, if it's its own Rishus, it can have its own rules. A Makom Ptur Bekalim, and Karmelis Bekalim. But if it's not its own Rishus, it's just whatever is not anything else becomes a Makom Ptur, so then perhaps it doesn't become a Rishus HaRabim, not a Rishus HaYochid, not a Karmelis. Okay, so then it becomes a Makom Ptur. This is a collector's item, by the way. It's a great test question. Can you have a Makom Ptur that's more than 4 by 4 wide? Would be this. If you have Kalim in the middle of a Rishus HaRabim, that more than 3 tefachim off the ground, would be a Makom Ptur that's more than 4 by 4 wide. You are forewarned. The third unique property of Rishus HaYachid is the halacha of Chorin. That's discussed by the Shulchan Aruch here, Siv Dalet, which is really an appendage to Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid has appendages. The other Rishuyos do not have appendages. There's no Chorin in Karmelis, no Chorin Rishus HaRabim. If the people walk there, it's Rishus HaRabim. If they don't, it's not. Rishus HaYachid has appendages. What is a Chorin Rishus HaYachid? So that's like a window ledge. Or a deck. A deck could be, if a deck doesn't have its own mechitzos, or it's not 10 tefachim off the ground. Let's say you have a deck in the back that's 6 tefachim off the ground, and it doesn't have its own mechitzos. So then it's not a Rishus HaYachid. So what is it? So it should have been a Karmelis. It doesn't have its own mechitzos, but since it's Meshamesh, the Rishus HaYachid, it's like Chorei. Chorei means holes in the walls, literally. But it really doesn't only mean holes in the walls, it means that it's an appendage. Any appendage to the Rishus HaYachid becomes part of the Rishus HaYachid. An appendage of Rishus HaRabim would be judged on its own merits. That's what the Mishnah Berurah tells you over here, Sivkat and Yud Aleph. So let's say, what does he mean, its own merits? It means that if it's 4 by 4 tefachim wide and more than 10 tefachim off the ground, it's a Rishus HaYachid. If it's 4 tefachim wide by 4, but it's less than 10 tefachim off the ground, it's a Karmelis. And if it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, but less than 4 by 4 wide, then it's a Makom Ptur. So it gets judged on its own merits. But Rishus HaYachid, whatever opens up into Mishamish, the Rishus HaYachid has the status of Rishus HaYachid, even if it doesn't have the dimensions on its own right of a Rishus HaYachid. The Mishnah Berurah, though, in Sivkatan Tes and Yud, quotes Machlokes about the size of Chorin. Which Chorin are considered appendages? One opinion in the Mishnah Berurah is in Sivkatan Tes that it has to be Dalat Tfachim wide on its own. It doesn't have to be 10 Tfachim off the ground or have 10 Tfachim of airspace, but it has to be at least somewhat the dimensions of Rishus HaYachid. It has to be 4 Tfachim wide. Then the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkatan Yud has another opinion. Perhaps it has to be 10 Tfachim off the ground. So these issues do come up. Where do they come up? For example, in the following case, which is discussed with the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, which used to come up a lot in Washington Heights, is people when in the olden days when they didn't have the Erev here, so people would carry their key around in or in areas where they don't have an Erev. People don't use the Erev. You see people carry the key around in a key belt. I don't know if you people have ever even seen that. So what do you do with a key belt? So you get to the door, you take off your belt, and you insert the belt into the lock, turn the lock, and open the door. So Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa discusses, 1 minute, when you take off your belt, which is a big machmir belt, so you take off your key to now open the door, when you stick the key in the door, where am I standing? I'm standing in the karmos. When I stick the key into the door, what's the keyhole? The keyhole is what? Could be chore rishus hayachid. That's like a hole that's mishamish to rishus hayachid. So Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa says, whoa, when you stick your key into the keyhole, didn't I just stick it from a karmelis into chore rishus hayachid? That should be an iser of hotza in its own right. Nothing to do with carrying the key. I got my belt, I got it to the door, but now when I stick the key in, it should be a problem. So that would be dependent, could be, in theory, have been dependent on this shaila. Can you have chore rishus hayachid that are less than dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim? This is much smaller than dalet tfachim. So that's the two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah. Can you have chore rishus hayachid that are less than dalet tfachim wide? But then the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa backs out and he says, no, it has nothing to do with chore rishus hayachid. Because here in all, unless you have the, you know, live in some old mansion in Riverdale somewhere which has the proverbial keyhole, you know, where you can peek through. So then that's chore rishus hayachid. But our keyholes all have mechanisms inside of them. So you can't see through. So that's not chore rishus hayachid. That's it's nothing. It's a makom tor probably because it's less than 4x4 tefachim wide.
So you have to go all the way through.
Yeah, in order to be chore rishus hayachid, it has to service the people in the rishus hayachid. It doesn't service anybody. There's mechanisms in between. Yeah.
But isn't the deck also? There's no hole in the deck. So that's the
there's a door to the deck. There's a door to the deck.
Even if the door is part of the house.
Yeah. Well, I have doors between the bedrooms. Just because there's door doesn't mean that it's not mishamish me, but I open the door and then I use it. Here, you don't open the keyhole, it remains like that. So the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa doesn't think that it would be chore rishus hayachid, even if we would be machmir for the opinion that it's less than dalat tfachim, which is already two opinions of the Mishnah Berurah, he still doesn't think it would be a problem with chore rishus hayachid. And the Tshuvas B'tzel HaChokhma, which is B'tzel Stern was a Rebbe was a Rav in Austria in the 60s. There's tshuvas that are quoted every now and then. So he has a tshuva about these key belts. So he says, fine, he's sticking in the keyhole is all right. But then he says, a lot of times the door you have to turn and push. You have over here by the offices. You have to turn and push in order to get in. So he says, fine, you got your key into the keyhole, but now you turn and you have to push it in. So didn't I just take my key from a kamalus into the Rishus HaYachid? The only way you can use a key belt, by the way, Rabbi, is to open the door, I put back on my belt, and then walk into the house. If you just take off the key and I carry my belt from the outside into the house, I just carry it from a carmelist into it. She's like, okay, you have to open the door, put back on the belt, and then walk inside.
People is on an elastic, so they don't even take it off. They just extend it, open it up, and then like let go and just like thingy thing.
Then how does it serve as part of the belt?
It's like
I thought the best way with the belt is that
it's an elastic, so you can just stretch it. Open it up and then like it will just stick right back to your body. You don't even actually have to take it.
So it doesn't do anything for me. Like a garto belt.
Yeah,
it's a garto.
People wear it over their tie or something that they pretend is for use.
Yeah, so that's okay.
They don't wear a regular belt. They wear it.
Oh, really?
Some do.
I don't know about that. The belts I've seen are the ones that have the key is called the belt, meaning instead of a spoke in the belt, you have a key. That's the best. So then you have to take off your belt, put back on the belt.
So if you have a regular belt and you have like one of the elastic things,
I don't know what the elastic thing does for you. It has to be a garment that you normally wear. How is that a garment?
I think maybe like interlocking here. I don't know.
I also don't know.
You're doing a
Hanafin
on the Malcolm Tour. What's the deal if you push in the door?
No, but half the key is out of the Malcolm Tour. Half the key is sticking out. So didn't I just bring half the key from Rosh Hashayachid into the Karmelis? So there, Rabbi Sal Stern quotes from Mishnah Berurah later on, not in our Chumash, Shinun Beis, of Kohen Yud, where he says that there's no Isser in taking half a kli from a Karmelis into Rosh Hashayachid. You have to be a bucky in Mishnah Berurah, but he says there's no Isser in bringing half a kli from a Karmelis into Rosh Hashayachid. But then if you live on Times Square, somewhere which is everyone agrees is a Rosh Harabim, you'd have a problem with this. You couldn't necessarily take the key, turn it, and push. You'd have a bigger issue. This issue also comes up, though, with regards to decks or porches. If you have, Shach was discussed in the past, I don't know, one of the house in the country or something, he has a porch, which is less than 10 tefachim off the ground, but it has no walls, it sits on stilts. So if you want to consider that to be Chorei Rishus HaYochid, that would be dependent on two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah. One opinion in the Mishnah Berurah is, not only that it has to be Dal tefachim wide, but that it has to be 10 tefachim tall, in order to be considered a Chorei Rishus HaYochid. It has to be 10 tefachim off the ground. It doesn't have to have walls, but it has to be 10 tefachim off the ground. So if you have a deck which is less than 10 tefachim off the ground, that's a shaila, whether that's considered Chorei Rishus HaYochid. One opinion in the Mishnah Berurah would say yes, one opinion in the Mishnah Berurah would say no. Front porches, though, are probably never considered to be a Chorei Rishus HaYochid. Look at the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Mem Vav, Siv Gimel, discusses a person who wants to open up his door from an askupa. An askupa is a porch or a stoop in front of the house. The Mishnah Berurah said, the Ramah there says that a lot of times people think that the top porch is a Rishus HaYochid because they have a roof over it, and even though it might not have walls all around, but they have a Pitikra, Yorei V'Sosein, which we've discussed, I think, that you have two walls, and maybe the roof will come down and will serve as the fourth wall, whatever, will serve as the other two walls, and then my stoop is a Rishus HaYochid. I could open my house, take off my key belt, open my house, and walk in holding my key belt. So Ramah writes that we should never assume that a skupa, a porch, is considered to be Rishus HaYochid by definition of the Pitikra. Why not? Because a lot of times the Tikra is, we think, is 4x4 wide, and it's not. And in order to constitute Pitikra, Yorei V'Sosein would have to be covering an area that's 4x4 wide. We'll get to Pitikra. hopefully have seen the issue of Pitikra. So in order to say Pitikra, Yorei V'Sosein, it needs to be 4x4 wide. The Ramah is afraid that it will not be 4x4 wide, so he tells you shouldn't open your door from the skupa. You shouldn't take out the key from the escupa, or you at least carry the key from the escupa into the house. You should put the key back down in the escupa. However, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav there asks, and that's if in the Shulchan Aruch, he asks, but 1 minute, why isn't the front porch considered a Rishus HaYochid? Because it's an appendage to the Rishus HaYochid, like Chorei Rishus HaYochid. Who cares about the top porch, the ceiling, and the Pitikra Yorei V'Sosein, and the walls? It says even if it has no walls, it should be considered Chorei Rishus HaYochid. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav there formulates a principle, which is that, since there's a door between the house and the porch primarily, it doesn't only serve the people in the house, it serves the people of the Carmelis, so maybe the people of the Carmelis also have the right to be on the porch. So why do I consider that an appendage of the Rishus HaYochid? It probably has the status of the Carmelis. It's there to be Meshamish, the Bnei HaKarmelis. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says if you have a back deck, no one's supposed to be on the deck except for the people in the house, or you have a mirpeset, out of the house, and then that might be considered. You have no walls around it, which would be a dangerous thing in its own right, but okay. So if you have a balcony or a deck, which is only to service the people in the house, that would be a Chorei Rishus HaYochid, but a front porch will probably never be a Chorei Rishus HaYochid. So that's the third unique property of a Rishus HaYochid, which is Chorei Rishus HaYochid, appendages. The fourth, yeah.
When you say front porch, front porch is, I'm thinking of, I don't understand how it could be a Carmelis. How can it serve the people? Front porch.
Where does your mailman come to put the mail? Where someone knocks on your door? The fourth unique property of Rishus HaYochid is Avi Rishus HaYochid Ki Rishus HaYochid. The airspace of Rishus HaYochid is like a Rishus HaYochid. That's quoted here in the Shulchan Aruch Sif Hei and Sif Yud Beis. And then it also says in the Shulchan Aruch that that's only true by Rishus HaYochid. Avi Rishus HaRabim is not Rishus HaRabim. Let's say 10 tefachim off the ground, and Rishus HaRabim is already a Makom Ptur. The problem is we all walk on the floor, so our feet stand in the Rishus HaRavim, so it's as if we're standing in the Rishus HaRavim. You can't say, well, the top half of me is in a Makom Tur. It doesn't work like that. It goes based on where your feet are standing. But if, let's say, I will want to throw a ball, let's say, I'm having a catch with someone in the CJF, and I throw a ball from the, if the windows in this building opened, and I have a ball, I throw a ball from this building to the other building, and I throw it over 185th Street, when it actually was a street and not a fancy plaza, so that's a Rishus HaRavim, and then I throw it over, but it's 10 Tfachim off the ground, so that went from a Rishus HaYachid through a Makom Tur into another Rishus HaYachid that's all allowed. Because Avi Rishus HaRavim is not Rishus HaRavim, only Avi Rishus HaYachid is Rishus HaYachid. The airspace of Rishus HaYachid is like Rishus HaYachid, that's probably because we visualize the walls as going all the way up to Shamayim. Good Asik Mechitzta, the wall stretches all the way to Shamayim, so therefore the wall space, the airspace of Rishus HaYachid is like Rishus HaYachid.
That's not dependent on
Kutza Commission? No. That's if something is traveling separate issue. That's something's traveling through Rishus HaRavim. Here it's not traveling through Rishus HaRavim, it's traveling through a Makom Tur. Separate issue. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Dawud. We're moving on to Kam. That's basically the highlights of Rishus HaYachid. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Dawud discusses a lot of the halachas of Karmelis. So again, the Shulchan Aruch tells you whatever is, doesn't have significant traffic and is 4x4 wide would have the status of a Karmelis. Even a water would have the status of a Karmelis. So the Mishnah Berurah there, Sifkot and Memches, tells you that if you have mechitzos underneath the water, so then the water would be considered a Rishus HaYachid. So let's say you have a lake. If there are mechitzos underneath, surrounding the lake would be a Rishus HaYachid. So why does the Shulchan Aruch consider all water bodies of water to be a Karmelis? If there are walls around it, it should be a Rishus HaYachid. So the Mishnah Berurah tells you, because most of the times lakes have a tail mislake. They have a slope, a beach that comes out. And usually the beach is not at this steep enough angle to constitute a mechitza. So there, or the Mishnah Berurah then quotes a Meiri, perhaps the walls are too far apart, like Rav Schechter's continental shelf idea, that if you don't feel enclosed within the mechitza, so then that's not going to, at a certain point, the mechitza cease to be mechitzas. So because of one of those two reasons, the Mishnah Berurah says, Sivka and Memches, either because they don't have mechitzas or because they're too spread apart, most bodies of water will have the status of a Karmelis. Since a Karmelis in its ancestry is really a Makom Tur, so there's a unique halacha that exists by Karmelis, which is quoted by the Ramah and Sif Yutes, which is whether or not the Ramah is discussing, he quotes two opinions, can you have a Makom Tur in a Karmelis? We mentioned you can't have a Makom Tur for sure in a Rishus HaRabim, a fire hydrant or a parking meter. Is more than 3 tefachim off the ground, but not 4x4 wide. So that's not a Rishus HaYachid, it's a Makom Tur. Can you have a Makom Tur in a Karmelis or not? Why should I say no? It should be like it's not like a Rishus HaYachid, it'd probably be like a Rishus HaRavim. Why can't you have a Makom Tur in a Karmelis? So the Midrash Ramah quotes one opinion that you can. And the other opinion is no, that you can't, because a Makom Tur, Karmelis is really a Makom Tur. But yet, there were Gozer and a Karmelis that it has a unique status. So perhaps when there were Gozer and a Karmelis that has a unique status, there were Gozer on every Makom Tur in this area. So we say, Matza Minas Minovineir. We say that the Makom Tur, hey, this whole area is a Makom Tur. What are you going to say? A fire hydrant in the middle of a Karmelis is a Makom Tur. This whole area is a Makom Tur. But nonetheless, there were Gozer to treat it as a Karmelis. So perhaps they included the fire hydrants and the parking meters too. We say, Matza Minas Mino, kind of a Yoredea term. Matzamin as Mino Vineir, it found its old ancestor and it got included in the Xera of Karmelis. So the Mishnah Berurah there writes that we should be Machmir on this Shaila. Again, this Shaila might also remind us of that issue, which is what is really a Makom Tur? Is a Makom Tur its own Rishus? Does it stand on its own 2 feet? In which case, perhaps you could have a Makom Tur in a Karmelis. It can't get schlepped along. Or perhaps, no, a Makom Tur is just the Nach Schlepper. Whatever it can be, it's part of any other Rishus, that's a Makom Tur. Here, we can make it part of the Karmelis. If it goes on Karmelis, so we throw the Makom Tur in there too. So that might also speak to what is the really the nature of a Makom Tur. Is it its own Rishus? Or perhaps it's just the lack of anything else. Not a Rishus HaRabim, not a Rishus HaYochid, not a Karmelis. And here it could be included in the Xer of Karmelis. This will be relevant for the struggle that people discuss if you're living, again, in an area which has no Erev and a guy walks out of his house by accident with something in his pocket, tissue in his pocket. And he remembers as he's walking, he puts his hand in his pocket and he feels the tissue. So the immediate reaction is the worst, which is to stop. You're not supposed to stop. You're supposed to keep on walking. Why? Because in order to be chai for Hotzah and Shabbos, you need an Akira and a Hanukkah. I took it out of my house and I stopped in the Rishus HaRabim. That's Chiyuv Hotzah. If I keep on walking, I have no Hanukkah in the Rishus HaRabim. I don't put it down. So then you can't become chai for Hotzah. It's also midrabanan to do it, but you won't be chai for Hotzah. So the best idea, if you walk out of your house with something in your pocket, is to keep on walking. But how far are you going to keep on walking? You want to get rid of this tissue already. Because is he going to get stopped at a crosswalk or something, and be like that guy who's jogging in place, you know? So you got to do something with this. So what are you going to do? So the best etza always used to be, if you look in the svarim, the best etza is put it down on a fire hydrant, or put it down on a parking meter, because that's a makom ptur. So the truth is, though, that's only a good etza if you're in a place where everyone agrees it's a rishus harab. If you're in Times Square, that works. But if you're anywhere else, which is more of a machlokas, whether or not it's a rishus harab, or you're in a suburb, which for sure is not a rishus harab. So then that's the shaila. Can you have a makom p'tur in the middle of a karmelis? And the Mishnah Berurah says we should be machmir on that. You can't have a makom p'tur in the middle of a karmelis. It gets swallowed up by the larger karmelis. So then that eitza won't really be your best eitza. That's the AP course. And you keep on walking. Keep on walking. I'll go back to the house. That's also a good eitza. Yeah, I'll keep walking to the shul. There are two types of karmelis. If you're paying attention as you're reading the Shulchan Aruch, you will notice that there are two types of Shechel likes to point this out. There are two types of karmelis. One type of karmelis, midaraisa, is a makom ptur. It doesn't have significant traffic. There's no walls. Not Rishus HaRabim, not Rishus HaYochin, makom ptur. The midarabanan, the Ragoza, that it's a karmelis. Then there's another type of karmelis, which is really a Rishus HaYochid. But midarabanan, they said you can't carry there. That's the Shulchan Aruch over here, Shin Mem Vav, Siv Gimel. What's known as a karpef. A karpef is an area that's greater than Beis Asayim. A Beis Asayim is 70 amos by 70 amos. Which for anybody who's interested in translating that into more usable measurements, it's like about 125 feet by 125 feet, which is not that big. Like a third of a football field, right? It isn't that big. So if you have such an area, which is low hukuf ledira. What does low hukuf ledira mean? It means that the walls were not put up for the purpose of people living inside, like natural walls. If you have natural walls around something, or there were walls that were put up, but not for people to live in, so that's called low hukuf ledira. You can't carry in an area that's based on Siam or more. Why? That's all midarabanan. Really, midaraisa, that's a rishus hayochid. You don't need hukuf ledira midaraisa. That's the whole thing is midarabanan. So there, the Mishnah Berurah tells you, really, this is a Rishus HaYachid, the Oraisa, that they made into a Karmelis. Not a Makom Ptur, which they made into a Karmelis, a Rishus HaYachid that they made into a Karmelis. So you might have thought, the Mishnah Berurah says, that you can't carry from one type of Karmelis to another flavor of Karmelis, because they're two really different types of things. It's like carrying from a Karmelis to a Rishus HaYachid, because this Karmelis, the Karpef, is really a Rishus HaYachid, the Oraisa. But the Mishnah Berurah tells you that Midrabanan, they made all karmelios the same. You can carry from one gender of karmelos into another gender of karmelos. And they treated them all the same so that people shouldn't take the gzeros lightly. So they made all the karmelios the same. The basic principle of karmelos is quoted here by the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Mem He, Sivka and Ayin Gimel, and that is that it has the kulos of a Rishus HaYachid and the kulos of a Rishus HaRabim. So Chorim, it doesn't have the lach of Chore Rishus HaYachid, because that's a Chumra Rishus HaYachid. And it has the Kula of Rishus HaRabim, that it only goes up to 10 Tfachim off the ground. It doesn't take up the whole airspace. And it has to be 4 Tfachim wide. It has the Kulos of Rishus HaYachid and the Kulos of Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, you want to throw something from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid over a Karmelis, that would also be considered as if it's going through a Makom Ptur. Because of that, so the Gemara has a rule, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, and this is perhaps the second most complicated thing we're going to talk about, is the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Mem Hei, Sif Tez Zayin, has the rule that Ein Karmelis Lamala Me'asara. The Pashup Shat, and this is what the Shulchan Aruch tells you, and this is the Shulchan Aruch Shita, is that the Gemara says this, Ein Karmelis Lamala Me'asara, there's no Karmelis above 10, means if this would be a Karmelis, it only goes up 10 tfachim off the ground, like Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim only goes up 10 tfachim off the ground. Everything above that is a makom ptur, as opposed to Rishus HaYachid, it goes all the way until the sky. Karmelis is like Rishus HaRabim, it only goes 10 tfachim off the ground. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch is discussing this case, the Gag HaBoed. So he says the Gag HaBoed should have the status of a karmelis. The Gag HaBoed is this case. You have a roof, but the roof goes over the mechitzos like this.
So the Shulchan Aruch says, what's the status up here? The status up here, the Shulchan Aruch says, is a karmelis. Why? So he tells you, this is a rule which we didn't talk about when we were discussing with Shusayachid, or Shech has mentioned it. And that is that in order to say good asik mechitzah, in order to visualize mechitzah as going up to Shamayim, they have to be mechitzos nikaros. You have to be able to recognize them. Here, these mechitzos are underneath the ground, so to speak, for this gagaboy. That's why mechitzos that are under the subway mechitzos don't go all the way into Shamayim, because they're not mechitzos nikaros on the ground. In order to say good asik mechitzah, you need mechitzos hanikaros. So the mechitzos are not nikar on the top, so the Shulchan Aruch tells you that on top over here, we have the status of a karmelis. What does a karmelis l'mal me'asara mean? It means that this karmelis only goes up 10 tefachim off the ground. But wherever the ground level of the karmelis is, if the karmelis would be down here, it would go up to here. The karmelis is over there, so it goes up to there. However, the Mishnah Berurah, over there, Sifkat and Samechei, quotes from the Gra, in the name of the Yushalmi, I believe, that, what ain karmelis l'mal me'asara means is you cannot have a karmelis that's 10 tefachim off the ground, that's elevated in the air. You can't have a karmelis that's suspended like this. You can have a karmelis that's above a subway, because that's not suspended, but you can't have a karmelis that's 10 tefachim in the air. So the Gra treats this area like it's a makom p'tur. That's what the Gra treats it like. That's a makom p'tur. And then, there's a third shita over here, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. That's the opinion of Tosfos. I think it's quoted by the Bir Halacha. Shin Mem Hei Sif Tez Zayin. You have this whole story. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from Tosfos that says, no, on top of the Gaga Boed is a Rishus Hayachid. He treats this like a Rishus Hayachid. That's Tosfos' opinion. He said, that's a Rishus Hayachid. But Tosfos adds on, if it's 4x4, if this extends over the mechitza 4 tefachim, so then Tosfos says this becomes nifras l'makom ha'asalo. Nifras l'makom ha'asalo means if you have an area that is has mechitzos, but it opens up into a rishus harabim. So I have 3 mechitzos d'oraisa, but it opens up, it's broken. Let's say more than eser amos into a rishus harabim. That's called nifras l'makom ha'asalo. I have the right number of mechitzos, but it opens up into an area where you can't carry. That's called nifras l'makom ha'asalo. You have to fix that pirtza. So over here too, the area on top of the house, Tosfos says, would be a rishus hayachid. But if it opens up 4 tefachim over here, then Tosfos says you can't carry here. So there's a big machlokas how to understand. I'm already biased here. I apologize for my presentation. Tosfos says like this. Tosfos says the top is a rishus hayachid, but if it extends 4x4 wide on either side, then you cannot carry here. I apologize. That's what Tosfos says. Top is a rishus hayachid, but if it extends 4 over, you can't carry here. So the big machlok is, why did Tosfos say that? The Chazon Ish, and this is the way Rav Shechter presented it, is because if it's sticks four tefachim out, then this is no longer nikar. If it sticks less than 4 tefachim out, let's say it's 2, that is still nikar. What are you going to say? Little lip, that's called Eino Nikar? No, if it sticks 4 tefachim out, that's Eino Nikar. 2 is Nikar. That's what Rosh Hashanah says. Chazon Ish says the same thing. The Marsha says a different shot in the Tosfos, and this is what Rav Moshe follows. The Marsha says, if it sticks out 4 tefachim, I'm sorry, then it's Nifrat L'makom Ha'asalo. This remains a Rosh Hashayachid. Even though the walls don't continue to go up, Rav Moshe says, I don't need good Asik Mechitzta in order to consider this to be a Rosh Hashayachid. Our Rishus Hayachid is anywhere that's surrounded by mechitzos, whether the mechitzos continue to go up or they don't continue to go up. True, in order to say good asik mechitzos, it has to be nikaros, but I don't need mechitzos to go out the rakia to have a Rishus Hayachid. So Rishus Hayachid, by definition, the fact that it's surrounded by mechitzos. Chaim says a very similar pshat in a sefer on the Rambam. Whatever is surrounded by mechitzos is considered Rishus Hayachid. Whoa, why did Tosfos say if it's sticking 4 tefachim over, you can't even carry here? Because now this doesn't have mechitzos, so this is a karmelis. And now my Rishus Hayachid opens up into a karmelis. So it's nifras l'makom ha'asalo. That's what the Marsha says, and that's where Moshe follows too. Rav Shechter says, no, 4 tefachim wide, then 4 tefachim over the lip, then it's ain't no nikar. Now this is not a Rishus Hayachid because it has no mechitzos, they don't go up. Rav Moshe says, no, I don't need the mechitzos to go up. What does Tosfos mean when he says if it's sticking out 4 tefachim? It means that it's now, it's nifras l'makom ha'asalo, and you can't carry over there because it opens up to an area which you can't carry. This was the whole issue with regards to the George Washington Bridge that Rav Shechter was talking about. That that sticks over, even if the wall of Manhattan would be surrounded by walls, let's say. So this is the island of Manhattan, and you have the George Washington Bridge goes over like this, right? So you have a wall underneath. So Sheffield said, oh, but the wall underneath doesn't help me for the George Washington Bridge. That's like a gaga bullet, like this, that sticks more than four tefachim over, because the walls down here, certainly not nikar on the bridge, says, Mechitza she'ena nikaras, the bridge has no shaykhus to the what's below. The bridge is judged on its own. The mechitzas that are below it don't help me for the bridge. So Moshe says, two arguments. Rav Moshe says, first of all, according to the Gra, ein kamus amal me'asar means you can't have a kamus that's suspended in midair. So this certainly can't be a kamus. And then Rav Moshe says, if you can't have a kamus that's suspended in midair, so you can't have a Rosh Hasharabim that's suspended in midair. So Rav Moshe says, the bridge is certainly not a Rosh Hasharabim or a kamus for the Gra. It's a makom ptur. And then Rav Moshe said, even for Tosfos, the mechitzas that are below make this part of the bridge part of the Rishus Hayochid. This is all part of the Rishus Hayochid. And this part is a Karmelis, at best. So Moshe says, just easy, no problem. Put a Tzuras HaPesach here and close this part of the bridge off. So Moshe said, if you put a Tzuras HaPesach on that part of the bridge, you're okay for two out of three opinions. He said, the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch you won't get. But Moshe said, you know what? He said, well, what's the big deal? He said, according to the Gra, you might not even need a Tzuras HaPesach. The whole thing might be a Makom Ptur. And then Rav Moshe says, either way, the mechitzas underneath probably help for on top to make the whole bridge a Rishus HaYochid. Because he understood what Tosfos was saying. He says, no, you don't need to say good Atik mechitzah to have a nikar on top. By definition, that it's surrounded by mechitzas, everything on top is part of the Rishus HaYochid, just as Nifas L'makom HaAtzilo. So Rav Moshe said, good, so put a Tzuras HaPesach.
So both Rav Moshe and Rav Shemesh agree you can't carry even in the area directly above where it's enclosed.
Yeah, the question is why? So if Shaftas says, because the bottom walls have nothing to do with the top ground level. Just how do I establish if it's a new ground level, if it sticks four tefachim over. If it sticks less than four tefachim over, it's not a new ground level. Rav Moshe says, what ground level? Rav Moshe says, we should say it goes all the way up to the second ground level. What Tosfos meant by four tefachim is now, it's nifrutz to a karmelis. This is certainly a karmelis. It has no walls underneath here. And this has no walls underneath there. That's a karmelis. And besides which, the opinion of the growers, the whole thing is a makom ptur. That was Rav Moshe's argument with regards to the George Washington Bridge. Moving on to Rishus HaRabim. So the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Mem Hei, Siv Zayin tells you a lot of the details that you need in order to be a Rishus HaRabim. The first thing that you need to be is Tez Zayin Amma wide. Where did they get that from? That was the size of the camp, of the caravan as they traveled through the Midbar. And everything on Shabbos is learned out of the Midbar, and there the shear of the width of their travels was Tez Zayin Amma wide. So in order to be Rosh Hashanah, the Araisa has to be Tez Zayin Amma wide. The Rebbe Kiva Eger on the Shulchan Aruch is not quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. Quotes him as Sefer Shvisas Yomtiv, that the sidewalk is also Mitzdarif. Just like the example I like to give is people, you know, in the left lane, at least if you know how to drive, the left lane is for the people who drive a little faster. The middle lane is for the, you know, the people who drive moderately. The right lane is for the people who want to drive slowly. And the sidewalk is for people who are walking. But either way, there's no difference in a slow right lane. So the whole street would include the sidewalks, just people going a little bit slower, a different mode of transit, but it's still people traveling, and it would also be mitzdarif to the shear of Tez Zayin Amma. The Shulchan Aruch, if you're reading carefully, in Shin Mem Hei Sif Ches and Sif Tez, seems to contradict himself. But the Bir Halacha there points out that it's really two opinions, and that is, if you have a Rishus HaRabim that looks like this, that's Miskatzer. Which is Harabim, which is Tez Zayin Amma wide here, it goes like this, and then becomes wide again. So here is Tez Zayin Amma, and here is Tez Zayin Amma. So such a thing in Rosh Hasharabim. So in one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, he says only if this remains Yud Gimel Amos wide, I think. And then the other opinion in Shulchan Aruch is that even if it's not Yud Gimel Amos wide, I think the other opinion is, I think one opinion Shulchan Aruch is that that is still Rosh Hasharabim, the other opinion Shulchan Aruch is that it's not Rosh Hasharabim. You look there.
Ches and Tes, I forgot. Yeah, Yesh Omim Shul Rosh Hasharabim, and then in the Sif before he said also. So if it's Miskatzer
in between, if it's not Tez Zayin Amma wide all the way through, and it gets to be 13 Amos,
so I think that's the two opinions over there. Whether or not that's considered to be Rosh Hasharabim or not.
Whether the area
in between, yeah, or the whole thing. We'll get to it in a second, because maybe it has to be mafulosh. But yeah, I think we come at the whole thing. Like, the whole thing is rishus haram. The second condition that you need in order to be rishus haram is you can't have a roof. If it has a roof, then it's not a rishus harabim. Rav Shechter discussed this fasemis, I think, that what if it's roof for part of the year, but not the other part of the year? So then, whether or not that considers it to be considered that it has a roof, and it wouldn't be a rishus harabim. Rabbi Tzvi Ram, who's a rabbi in the Biyawistak Shul on the Lower East Side, which is the lion's den, the Erevin. So there are two buildings, I think, that people live in by the Biyawistak Shul. Two apartments, I'm not a Lower East Side person. Two buildings on either side of the street. You can't make an Erevin in the Lower East Side for obvious reasons. So, but he came up with an idea was that if they build a roof between, they put luggage strings between the two buildings. So if there's a roof there, even Rav Moshe would agree that you could build an eruv between, at least between the two buildings, if it would have a roof. So I don't know, he passed this suggestion, the suggestion around. I don't know if it ever came to anything, but I don't think so, because I never heard about it. That was an interesting suggestion. Maybe if you build a roof, so then even Rav Moshe might agree that it should have the status of a roof.
Apparently,
Rav Dovid
said that
it probably works, but he shouldn't do it anyway. Good enough. All right. All right. The third condition that you need in order to be Rishus HaRabim is that it has to be Mechuvim Mishar L'Shar. So over here, if you read the Shulchan Aruch, sounds like this is only in a city that has a wall. The Shulchan Aruch says, I'm sorry, in Siv Zion, even if it has a wall, if the Rishus HaRabim goes straight through Mishar L'Shar, it sounds like it's only in a discussion in a city where it has a wall, then I need it to be Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. If it doesn't have a wall, I don't need it to be Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. And it makes a lot of sense if it's only talking about a city which has a wall. Why? Because the reason why we need it to be Mefuish Mishar L'Shar in a city that has a wall is, if I have a wall, let's say I have this street, goes like this. So if it's a city that has a wall, so then if it's not Mefuish, Mishar L'Shar, it goes like that, so then I really have three walls. I have this wall, at the end of there, there's a wall. I have this wall, on this side, there's a wall. This one, there's a wall. So I basically have three walls here, here, and here. So that's what Rishus HaYachid D'Oraisa. In order to be the Chazonish, you know, like the Chazonish with the buildings, in order to be Rishus HaRabim in a city that has a wall, then it has to go straight through. Ah, then I have no walls. Maybe we'll explain. That's why the others explain this too. That's why the Shulchan Aruch might imply that the only time you need Mefuish Mishar L'Shar is if it's a city that has a wall. Many posts can pass it like that. Mishnah Yaakov, Chaim Moser, the Chazonish. Is that perhaps it's only in a city that has a wall. Rav Shechter keeps quoting his Rav Shlomo David Kahana, who was the Rav in Warsaw, that sounds like it has nothing to do with a city that has a wall. Then you'd have to read the Shulchan Aruch that it's a little bit built in Duyak, that when he says, Afil Yesham Chom, it means, oh, even if it has a wall. But even if it doesn't have a wall, you would also need it to be Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. Rav Shlomo David Kahana's comment was that the larger a city gets, the less chance you'll have that it'll be Mefuish Mishar L'Shar, that it'll go straight. One street will go straight through. Will go straight through the city. The other assumption of Shlomo David Kahana is that you need one street to go straight through the city. Others say what Mefuish Mishar L'Shar means is that there's no dead end. But I have one street. I can go like this. I go like this. I go like this. I go like this. I go like this. As long as I don't have to stop entirely and turn around, that's called Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. So Rabbi Simon likes to quote in the name of Rav Moshe Bick, who was an alumnus of our yeshiva, that was a big posik in Borough Park, Irvin, and everything. So he used to say that New York is Mefuish Biz California. You can drive from here to California, so everything is Mefuish. Mefuish doesn't mean it has to go straight through. Mefuish means that you can drive from one to the other. But Rav Shlomo David Kahana, again, is making a different assumption, which is that it has to go through without any curves and breaks and everything. Rav Moshe didn't like this whole Indian of Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. He didn't understand why it should be so. The Meiri says a very good svara. Rav Moshe says, I don't know what's the svara behind Mefuish Mishar L'Shar. So Meiri already says. Meiri says because if people, the road goes straight through, like Rav Shlomo David Kahana said, it has to go straight through, so then people could drive fast. If it curves like this, So then people have to drive much slower. That's not heavy traffic. You'll never have heavy traffic on a road that goes like this and like this and like this. The only time you'll have heavy traffic is if it goes straight through. Rav Moshe said he didn't understand the svara that's behind Mefuash Mishar Lashar. So Moshe's he changed the definition of Mefuash Mishar Lashar from what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. And the way he defined Mefuash Mishar Lashar is that it has to be all the conditions of the Rishus HaRabim have to be intact. Eino Mekura, Atez Zayin Amo. All the conditions of a Rishus HaShishim Ribo have to be present throughout the Rishus HaRabim. There can't be any part of the Rishus HaRabim that doesn't have these conditions present. The problem is then for Rav Moshe, every road that has an overpass is a shaila, whether it's a Rishus HaRabim. It's FDR Rishus HaRabim because it has an overpass. Or Rav Moshe has a problem with this sif in the Shulchan Aruch. There's one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch that this whole thing is considered to be a Rishus HaRabim, even though at one point it gets narrower than Tez Zayin Amo. So all of these are problems for Rav Moshe. But what Rav Moshe does gain, is what Rav Moshe wanted to say, is that even you could have a dead end that could be a Rishus HaRabim. Because if all Mefuash Mishar Lashar means is that it has to have the conditions of Rishus HaRabim, and one of them is not that it goes straight through the Eruv, so then Rav Moshe said even a dead end could be a Rishus HaRabim, as long as it's Eino Mekura and Tez Zayin Amo and has significant traffic. The third, we're up to the fourth, the condition to be a Rishus HaRabim might or might not be that you need Shishim Ribo. That's two opinions here in the Shulchan Aruch, whether in the Siv Zayin, whether or not you need Shishim Ribo. The Mishnah Berurah says in Sivkat and Chav Gimel that from the fact that he calls one a Yesh Omrim, I don't remember all these rules about what he calls Yesh Omrim, how we paskin, whatever, but the Mishnah Berurah seems to assume again that we don't paskin that you need Shishim Ribo. So the Mishnah Berurah writes that Baal Nefesh should be the Be'er Halach over here in the Mishnah Berurah, and says that Baal Nefesh should be Machmer on himself, not to rely on the opinion that you need Shishim Ribo to be Rishus HaRabim. However, the Shaar HaTzion in Tzivkot and Chav Beis points out that from the Shulchan Aruch and other places, it sounds like he did paskin that you need Shishim Ribo. Because the Rama writes all the way at the end of Shin Mem Vav that we don't have a Rishus HaRabim anymore Midaraisa. Why don't we have a Rishus HaRabim anymore Midaraisa? So it sounds like it's because you need Shishim Ribo, and we don't have Shishim Ribo. So it sounds like from the Ramah that he paskin that at the end of Shin Mem Vav, Sif Gimel, that we don't have Rishus HaRabim anymore. So it sounds like we paskin that you do need Shishim Ribo. Even if you don't need Shishim Ribo, by the way, the Beis Ephraim makes a very basic point, which is you need some traffic. Then every Carmelist is a Rishus HaRabim. Every Yam, every Bikka is a Rishus HaRabim. So he says, no, it has to be some threshold of traffic. Even if it's not Shishim Ribo, it has to be more than minimal traffic. It can't be that every side street in every suburb is Rishus HaRabim. Must be some significant traffic, you just don't necessarily need Shishim Ribo. How do you gauge Shishim Ribo? So the Shulchan Aruch says you need 600,000 people over in Bo B'chol Yom. So it sounds like you need 600,000 people on this very spot every single day. So the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Chavdal says he looked in all the Rishonim and he didn't find that language anywhere. The Achronim point out it's a Ramban, it's a Sefer HaTruma, it's a Bahag. There's tons of Rishonim who say that. But the Mishnah Berurah says he looked through all the Beis Yosef quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Yeruchim. But the Mishnah Berurah says that he looked in all the Rishonim and he didn't find anyone who says that you need 600,000 people on this very spot every day. So what does it mean if you don't need 600,000 people on this very spot? So the Be'er Halacha there quotes in the name of the Ritva and the Ran that perhaps what it means is you need that it's open to 600,000 people. 600,000 people could travel there every day, but not necessarily that they do. In which case, that opens up Pandora's box. Like the Aruch HaShulchan discusses train tracks. So even if a train doesn't necessarily have 600,000 people that travel on it every day, but it could, they could travel on it. It's open to 600,000 people. And who said it means every day? Maybe it means just it's open to the multitudes of people. So then that's a much more broad definition. Then the Shaar HaTzion and Shin Mem Hei Sivkat and Chav Hei has another definition of what it means, 600,000 people travel there every day. It doesn't necessarily mean on one particular street in the city. It means that there are 600,000 people on all of the streets of the city at any given point in time. That's considered to be a Rishus HaRabim. And that's Rav Moshe Shita too. Rav Moshe Shita is, if you have 600,000 people on all the streets of the city at any given point in time, the whole thing is a Rishus HaRabim. So Rav Moshe says, well, how far do you call all the streets of the city? Does it only mean where I build my Erev, or it goes further? So Moshe says it means Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil. That was the Shir Machne of the in the Midbar. So Moshe says as long as you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given point in time within the radius of Yud Beis Mil al Yud Beis Mil, that makes everything there a Rishus HaRabim. The fundamental difference between this shita and the other shitas is that according to this shita, the whole city becomes a Rishus HaRabim. Until now, we've been discussing one street becoming a Rishus HaRabim. Tazayin Amma, Enam Akura, blah, blah, blah. Now, Ramash is saying the whole city is all or nothing. If there are 600,000 people in the streets of the city, the whole thing is a Rishus HaRabim. If there aren't, then it's not. But it sounds like the whole city goes together. Therefore, Ramosha, when he said you can't build an Erev where there's a Rishus HaRabim because you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city, even the real people who follow Ramosha won't even build an Erev on a dead end. Number one, Ramosha held a dead end does not have a problem with Mefulosh, because Mefulosh doesn't mean it has to go through. It just means it has all the conditions of Rishus HaRabim. And if you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city, all the streets of the city are Rishus HaRabim. So even a dead end somewhere in Flatbush would have the status, could in theory have the status of Rishus HaRabim. That's a big chiddush. So then Ramosha did his, tells you sociological statistics. And Ramosha said that he thinks, how do you know if you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given point in time? So Ramosha tells you, well, at any given point in time, 1 out of 4 or 1 out of 5 people in the population will probably be on the streets of the city. Probably 3 out of 4 people are at home, 1 out of 4 is on the streets of the city. Maybe 4 out of 5 are at home, 1 out of 5 is on the streets of the city. So Moshe says, once you have a population of between 2.4 million and 3 million people living in the density of the area of Yud Beis Mil, the whole place becomes a Rishus HaRabim. Because you have 600,000 people somewhere on the streets of the city at any given point in time. That's why Moshe was against the Erev in Flatbush. That's not why he was against the Erev in Manhattan, because the Erev in Manhattan might have real walls. So then if you have walls around the area, so then that might be considered Rishus HaYochid because of the walls. Ramosha was talking about using it Tzuras HaPesachs. Ramosha said you can't use Tzuras HaPesachs in Flatbush because that's the status of Rishus HaRabim. Manhattan, Ramosha was discussing real walls. Real walls, wouldn't be an issue. But that's why there are those who ask a contradiction in this Tshuvas of Ramosha. If you look at the Tshuvas of Ramosha about Flatbush, Ramosha says you can't build an Erev in Flatbush. The very next Tshuva, Ramosha says you can build an Erev in Kew Gardens Hills in Queens. So everyone asks the stira, what's the difference between the two neighborhoods? If there's that density of people in Flatbush, the same density of people in Kew Gardens Hills. So the Talmidim of Ramosha explained that Ramosha held that the highways in Kew Gardens Hills is full of highways. You have the Grand Central and the LIE and the Van Wyck. The Kew Gardens Hills area is surrounded by walls on three sides because of all the retaining walls of the highways. So Moshe felt that breaks up the neighborhoods of Queens. And you don't view them all as one big area of Yud Beis Mil. Kew Gardens Hills is his own neighborhood. Hillcrest doesn't have that density of population anyway. And Forest Hills is a separate neighborhood. And Flushing is a separate neighborhood. We can't view them all together because there are mechitzos in between them. So that's why Ramosha was Makel. That's what the Talmidim Ramosha explained. Ramosha was Makel in Kew Gardens Hills because it was broken up by the highways as opposed to in Flatbush where it's all Mitzurah Yachad, and if you have that population, Yud Beis Mil, it's a Rishus HaRabim.
So any suburb, like let's say the very populated downtown, then there's a suburb within Yud Beis Mil.
That doesn't have, it has 3 million people, it doesn't have 3 million people.
Let's say that filled up. I mean, I don't know how many people, or, yeah, I'm just saying in general, if you have like a very populated downtown area, and within Yud Beis Mil you have the suburban areas, so theoretically.
If they're within Yud Beis Mil or Yud Beis Mil.
How big is Yud Beis Mil?
That's big. It's not so... I mean, I don't think it's that big, though. Philadelphia to the suburbs is far. Yeah, Flatbush is much more dense. Yeah. Anyway, the Mishnah Berurah here, Shin Mem Hei Sivkan Yud Zayin, throws in another rule in the name of the Magen Avraham, which is that Drachim Ahochim Meir Le'ir are also Rishus HaRabim. Why would I think Drachim Ahochim Meir Le'ir? Highways are not a Rishus HaRabim. So if Shetri quoted the Orchis Chaim Sepinko, who says no, that the Pshat, he's quoting from a Ramban, that the Pshat here is that no, Drachim Ahoch Meir Le'ir Rishus HaRabim, even without Shishim Ribo, I don't need 600,000 people to be considered Rishus HaRabim if it's a highway. That was how the Orchis Chaim were in that Psak of the Magen Avraham. That, in fact, was a big Machlok seen the Avnei Nezer, and the Avnei Nezer quotes the Machlok seen himself and the Yeshua Smalko, Rabbi Yeshua Kutner, should we be Machmer like that, should we not be Machmer like that? If a highway is considered to be Rishus HaRabim, what that means is that you can never build an Erev over a highway. That means any neighborhood that has a highway that goes through it, you can't build a Route 80 or a Route 4, and you can't build an Erev that goes over a highway because you don't even need Shishim Ribo, and it has the status of Rishus HaRabim to rise without it. So then you couldn't build an Erev over it. So Rebulik thought that he's mako on this, that you can build an Erev over a highway. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa also quotes like that from Shlomo Zalman, that the Ramo writes, we don't have any Rishus Harabim anymore, Bizman Azed Araisa. Why don't we have any more Rishus Harabim? We don't have highways. The Ramo didn't have highways. So Shlomo Zalman says that it must be the Ramo didn't accept this Chumrah, that highways are not automatic Rishus Harabim. Ramosha also says like that. Ramosha says, the only time you need Shishim Ribo on one street is if it's a highway. If it's in the streets of the city, then we judge the whole city by Shishim Ribo. So Ramosha said, the whole Sif in Shulchan Aruch was talking about Tezayin Amma wide and Shishim Ribo on the one street, that's talking about a highway. Otherwise, what else is it talking about? The streets of the city, we all judge together. So Ramosha said, must be a highway needs Shishim Ribo. But Rav Shechter took this... Orchis Chaim, and he thinks we should pass it like that, that every highway has the status of Rishus HaRabim by definition, without the Shishim Ribo. And then Rav Shechter went even further, and he felt that's what the Orchis Chaim and the Magen Avraham. Then Rav Shechter even expanded that beyond that, which is that Rav Shechter thought that perhaps we should say that every highways are in fact the paradigmatic Rishus HaRabim. And they don't need any of the conditions that are mentioned here in the Shulchan Aruch. These are all just types of descriptions of a highway. Tezayin Amma, Eino Makura. But if you have a highway that's Makura, what the Lincoln Tunnel. Makura. Usually someone asks about, what about the Lincoln Tunnel, Rabbi Sayyam? I'm not impressed. So Lincoln Tunnel or any highway that becomes less than Tezayin Amma wide, if it's made to travel Meir Le'ir, or train tracks, the Rosh Hashanah thinks that train tracks are also, even though sometimes they're not Tezayin Amma wide, train tracks would also be considered a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. So Rav Shechter thinks you don't need any of the conditions that are mentioned here in the Shulchan Aruch. These are all just kind of descriptions of highways, and they don't need any of these details. Then Rav Shechter went even another step further. Not only do you not need Shishim Ribo, perhaps you don't even need Makura, Tezayin Amma wide. But Rav Shechter thought even if you have a highway that goes around and around the city, like the FDR Drive, that doesn't go Meir Le'ir, but it doesn't blend in to become part of the streets of the city. It's meant to go from place to place, but it doesn't have crosswalks and stop signs and blah, blah, blah. It's meant for fast travel. So Rav Shechter thought that should also be considered a highway, even though it just goes around and around Manhattan. That's why Rav Shechter was trying to say, I hope everyone understood that. Let's say in the mountains you have a street that becomes, I've been involved in everything like this. You have a street that goes from town to town, and then when it gets to the town, it stops in the middle of the town. You have crosswalks and lights and little shops along the street, and then you go off the street, and then, you know, like in the Catskills, and then it starts traveling to the next town. When you get to the next town again, you have the crosswalks and everything. So if Shechter thought, while it's in the town, that's just one of the streets of the city, you can build an Erev around it. Once it gets out of the town, that's Drachem HaHolcha Meir Le'ir. Even though it certainly doesn't have the population of Shishim Ribo, as long as there's some minimal traffic, which I guess qualifies, as long as you have some minimal traffic, that would be considered, maybe you don't even need that, it's a highway, so it would always be considered a Rishus HaRabim. So that's why, according to Rav Shechter, if you have an Erev where a highway goes through the Erev, goes through the city, or you have train tracks that go through the city, so you have to box. So according to Rabbi Willig or the Shlomo Zalman, you could just include that in your Erev, put a Tzuras HaPesach over it. But as we're going to get to in a second, Rav Shechter talked about, you can't build an Erev with Tzuras HaPesach over Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. Doesn't work for a few reasons. So if that's the case, and you have train tracks to go through the Erev, you'd have to box it all out. You'd have to have mechitzas that run along the train tracks to make sure that the Erev is not open up into the train tracks, and you'd have to box it out. And a highway too, let's say, I think in Teaneck they have, where Route 4 is elevated, so they have every entrance ramp and exit ramp is closed off. The Erev doesn't open up into Route 4. But that's easier because Route 4 is elevated. Sometimes the highway is not elevated or lower, sometimes it runs right through. So then it becomes much more difficult and expensive. Or if you have train tracks also, it could become very big issue. Just like Rav Shechter thought that highways are the paradigmatic of Rishus HaRabim, so the Rashba has a similar idea by plazas. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, what is a Rishus HaRabim? Rishus HaRabim is Sratya uPlatya. Rashi says Sratya is a Drachem HaHocha Meir Le'ir. Platya is a big plaza, big open plaza for shopping. So the Rashba writes that, and this is quoted by the Be'er Heitiv in Shin Mem Hesiv Katan Zayin, that I think it's a Rashba in the Avodas HaKodesh, that a Platya is so paradigmatically a Rishus HaRabim, even if you will build walls around the platya, it won't make a difference. It's still us to carry there. So that's why Rav Moshe thought you shouldn't build an Eruv in Manhattan, because Rav Moshe said there are such plazas in Manhattan. That's where one. This was the reason Rav Moshe didn't want an Eruv in Manhattan. Number one, people will come to Manhattan and think you can carry and they'll go back to their hometowns. Number two, Rav Moshe said, because of this Rashba and the Avodas HaKodesh, because there are plazas throughout Manhattan that you can't carry in, even if you're surrounded by walls, because of the Rashba and the Avodas HaKodesh. So a lot of those who disagreed with Rav Moshe felt we shouldn't paskin like this Rashba and the Avodas HaKodesh. It's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch anywhere, but be that as it may. That was the opinion of the Rashba, that even if it's surrounded by walls, you can't carry there. So that's why many feel Times Square is probably, even if it would be surrounded by walls, even if Manhattan would be surrounded by walls, it would be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Zaraisa. Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted by the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. He raises the possibility that perhaps the Kotel Plaza should be considered like a platya. And even though there's walls around it and an Erev around it, but still, literally walls around it, Kotel, but it still should be considered us at the carry there, like a big plaza. So then Rav Shlomo Zalman backs out of that and he says, no, because it's only if it's a plaza that's for business. If it's a plaza that's gathering together to daven, he said, well, every shul then is a Ram de Raisa. So he says, no, the Kotel is a big place for davening. It's not a place for business.
Does it matter which comes first? I mean, let's say you build the walls.
No. I don't think so. For those who are machmir for this Rashba, I don't think so.
But it has doors also. It's completely surrounded by walls and doors. Even the Rashba holds that if you build doors for the plaza itself, it's not
true. No, he says, if you surround the whole thing by walls, it doesn't make a difference.
No, that's not true.
I think that's what the Rashba says.
Okay. He said the Plati has its own doors. He says you can't be so much on the walls and doors for the city to carry in the Plati.
The Plati feel to Lassos Hamedina and in Ozbog, I go to Rashba.
If you make Lassos for the Plati itself, if you act literally surround the entire thing with walls and make Lassos that there's no whatsoever, if you make it for the
I don't think so. I thought it's even if it's a Ramosha quote. I thought that's why he said not in Manhattan, even though there's walls around Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. Alright, well. Be that as it may, maybe we shouldn't be machmir for the whole thing to begin with. The Shulchan Aruch, two more points. The Shulchan Aruch, one more point, but it's an extended point. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish is Shin Samach Dalet Siv Beis. Says that Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you cannot be ma'arav unless you have doors. So it sounds like in order to be Ma'arav Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you need doors. Not a Tzuras HaPesach. So the Mishnah Berurah there, Shin Samach Daled of Katan Vav, quotes, Machlokes, whether or not you need one door or two doors. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, if you want to be Ma'arav Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then Shulchan Aruch there, Siv Beis, has two opinions. Do you need, what type of doors? Do the doors have to be closed? If the doors are closed, that's no big Chiddush, then it's just the Mechitza. But with that, perhaps there is no big Chiddush in doors. Or perhaps it's enough if they could be closed. If it's Re'uyos Lino. So the Mishnah Berurah of Kohen Ches says, we paskin, the doors actually have to be closed at night. They need Delosos Nenanos Belayla. If the Delosos are not closed at night, then the Delos doesn't do anything. So the Poskim say, though, we're Mako, that as long as the Delosos are Re'uyos Lino, that should serve to be Ma'ar V'Rushus HaRabim. Number one, because of a Sfeik Sfeika. The Avnei Nezer has this Torah Chesed. Sfeik, Suffolk number one, we're not sure we have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim anymore, Bismanazay. And Suffolk number two, maybe it's enough with Re'uyos Lino. So the Mako with Re'uyos Lino could be closed. But say for the fact that we don't have a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim anymore, to say that the losses, as long as it's Re'uyos Lino, should work. The Avnei Nezer is a tshuva about how often do you have to close the doors to be considered a delos of Re'uyos Lino. So the Avnei Nezer quotes, I think, from a Gemara by the Sandal Shel Chalitza, that as long as it's worn once, ever, that's called a delos of Re'uyos Lino. Just like a shoe that's Shel Chalitza, I apologize, is worn once, that's considered a Sandal Shel Chalitza. As long as that needs to be Roy Lino, so as long as it's closed once, as long as the shoe is worn once, that's considered a Sandal Shel Chalitza. So too, as long as the door is closed once, that would be Delos HaRuyo Lino. But the minig is in places where they put up Delosos, for Shus HaRabim, that they close them once a year. They close them once a year. The Avnei Nezer is a further machlokas. What about is it called a Delos HaRuyo Lino if you're not allowed to close it? Let's say the police will give you a ticket if you try and close doors over here on Amsterdam Avenue. When they were building the area across Amsterdam Avenue after Avraham Soloveitchik passed away, so they tried to involve big tent, so they tried to involve all the Rebbeim in making the Eruv. So one of the Rebbeim insisted that they make, he thought that Amsterdam Avenue should be considered Rishus HaRabim, like Rav Moshe. So he wanted to put doors on either end of Amsterdam Avenue. So they are, they're there. There are these, you never noticed them, but they're there. There are canisters that attach to the telephones that contain like tennis nets that extend, they could extend all the way across Amsterdam Avenue. So, but the government won't let you close them. You can't do that. Yeah, you could, maybe you could do it once a year in coordination with the police department, but they won't let you do it the rest of the year. So that's a machlokas. Is that called Re'uyo Lino? Not that we just choose to close it once out of the blue moon. We can only close it then. Otherwise, we'll get a ticket. So that's a machlokas, whether that's called Re'uyo Lino or not. So Shechter was opposed to it for that reason. He thought that's called Eina Re'uyo Lino, that the tennis net is no good for that reason. Then Rav Shechter also thinks that they're not necessary, because he has his Chazon Ish, that Amsterdam Avenue is probably which is Hayachid Araisa, because there's buildings on the two sides, and then it curves down there by the angle parking, where there's a fence over there probably somewhere. So he thought that the whole thing should be a which is Hayachid anyway, the Araisa, you don't need the Delassos. He's not into Ramosha's whole definition, everything is a Rishus Harab. He likes the Chazon Ish, that everything, you have the walls of the building serve as walls on the side. And then Rav Shechter raised another point, which is that these tennis nets might not be considered delosos at all. A delos, perhaps, is only if it's there. A delos is a door. When it's open and when it's closed, the door is still there. Here, when you close these tennis nets, they roll up into a canister. We'll see them on our Erev tour. They roll up into, unless the guy rip them down again, but they roll up into a canister and then you stretch them out. But when they're rolled up, there's no door there. So Rav Shechter raised the possibility that's not called a door. The Shari Tshuva and Shin Samach Gimel of Kohen Yud Beis discusses a drawbridge. If let's say you have a drawbridge that goes across a moat or something, you know. So when it's up, it's considered to be a mechitza. What about when it's down? So can that be like a delas, a ru'uyo lino? I could raise it, but when it's down, there's no mechitza. It's like your lap. When you stand up, it disappears. So when you put down the drawbridge, perhaps that's not a mechitza at all. It's not called delos haru'uyo lino. So the Shari Tshuva there quotes from many who are machmir on the bridges, that shouldn't be considered a delos haru'uyo lino. So therefore, Shechter thought also that this door, when you close it up, it's not a door at all, it's nothing. That should not be considered a delos haru'uyo lino. Besides which, the fact that he thought they're not necessary, so that I think bothers him the most. One last point about losses is there's a big machlok, and then this comes up. There's a big machlok between the Chazon Ish and the Chasam Sofer. When you have a delis, haru'uyo lino, so do you have to leave anything behind? Meaning, according to the Chazon, let's say you have, they have this by bungalow colonies, or I've seen it by schools. So you're using the fence of a school, and the school has, but in order to get in the fence, they have a driveway. So they have this rolling gate, like they have over here by the parking garages. They have a rolling gate. So is that a delis haru'uyo lino? So the Chasam Sofer says, yeah, that's a delos haru'uyo lino. Even when it's open, that should be considered a mechitza. So let's say a lot of times they want to use the fence of a school, but in the winter time, schools are they still have extracurricular activities till like 6 o'clock, and Shabbos is already by 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. So can you use the fence of the school if the gate is open? So the let's say in a bungalow colony, sometimes you have that, and the guy who lives there is the caretaker, wants to go out and get a cup of coffee or the newspaper in the morning. So he's going to break up our whole Erev by opening up the gate. So as long as there's a deres there, the Chasam Sofer says that's called a deres haru'uyo lino, and that's okay. The Chazon Ish says, no, in order to be considered a deres haru'uyo lino, you need a tzuras ha-pesach. The canisters over here would not be considered a deres haru'uyo lino for the Chazon Ish, because there's no tzuras ha-pesach. Oh, there is. There is a tzuras ha-pesach there. Yeah, but if there's no tzuras ha-pesach, let's say you have this gate that just rolls across, so the Chazon Ish held that's not a deres haru'uyo lino. You need some residual mechitza there, even when the door is open. So then it wouldn't be good. So that's a big machlokes in the Chasam Sofer and the Chazon Ish. Comes up a lot. If there's no residual mechitza, would that be considered a delos haru'uyo lino? That's in order to be ma'arav rishus harabim. But the Mishnah Berurah there is medayik. In order to be ma'arav rishus harabim, you see that you need doors. A tzuras ha-pesach is no good. So when the Shulchan Aruch says that in order to be ma'arav rishus harabim, you need doors, and a tzuras ha-pesach is no good, what does he mean by that? That could mean one of two things, and this is our last point. That could mean one of two things. That could mean that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that asu rabim umavatl mechitzta, or it could mean something else. The Gemara has a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the following case. About Pasi Biros is a heter that they made for people who were traveling to be all the regal, that they should be able to drink water. So if you have, let's say, a boar like this, that's Biros, and you have pasim, which is boards, and you just four sides like this.
That's a mechitza, and you can go and drink from the water and carry in this area. Special halacha, pasei biros, which we're not discussing now. So then, the Gemara discusses of the following. Let's say there's traffic that goes through here. So does that break up the mechitza of the pasei biros? Do we say, asu rabim mevatel mechitza or not? So Behuda's opinion was, we say, asu rabim mevatel mechitza, and the opinion of the Rabbanim was, we don't say, asu rabim mevatel mechitza. So it could be when the Shulchan Aruch said that you can't use a Tzuras HaPesach, the Ma'ar B'Shus HaRabim, it's because he's passing like Rabbi Yehuda that we say, Asu Rabim U'mevatel Mechitza. Could be. Or it could be what the Shulchan Aruch is saying is the other thing. It could be he's passing like the Rabbanan, we say, Lo Asu Rabim U'mevatel Mechitza here. But even the Rabbanan holds sometimes we say Asu Rabim U'mevatel Mechitza, because the Gemara quotes another case of this. If you have two walls like this, with a lechi, like that, wall with a lechi, and let's say there's traffic traveling through here. So here, there's also Machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, but here the Rashitas are switched. The Rabbanan say over here, Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza, and Rabbi Yehuda says over here, Lo Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza. So Gemara is a contradiction. Here the Rabbanan say, Lo Asu Rabim. Here the Rabbanan say, Asu Rabim. Here Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Asu Rabim. Here Rabbi Yehuda says, Asu Rabim. What's going on? So Gemara answers for the Rabbanan. The Gemara says, both are not Akasha. And the Gemara says, Teirutzim for both. The terrace for the Rabbanan is that over here you have Shem Dalad Mechitzos. You have four walls. Here you don't have Shem Dalad Mechitzos. You have Mechitza with a lechi. So the Rishonim describe that answer of the Gemara in different terms. The Gemara says Shem Dalad Mechitzos versus not Shem Dalad Mechitzos. If you have Shem Dalad Mechitzos, you don't say Asu Rabim Vatam Mechitza. Over here where you don't have Shem Dalad Mechitzos, you say Asu Rabim Vatam Mechitza. The Rishonim say over here this is Mechitzos Brios. Strong walls. This is Mechitzos Gruos, weaker walls. So the Rabbanon hold that you say Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza by Pasei Biros, but you do not say it, you don't say it by Pasei Biros, that's strong walls, but you would say it over here by two and a lechi. So even the Rabbanon hold that sometimes we say Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza by Mechitzos Gruos. So it could be that what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us, that Rishus HaRabim cannot be Misarev with Tzuras HaPesach, is that a Tzuras HaPesach is a Mechitza Grua, is an inferior Mechitza. Or it could be what the Shulchan Aruch is telling us, is that we Paskin also Rabim Mevatel Mechitza, and no matter what type of Mechitzas you would have would be a problem. So that's a big Machlokas. What is the Shulchan Aruch telling us? The Mishnah Berurah, in the Bir Halacha there, this is the opinion of the Mishnah Yaakov, but the Mishnah Berurah was a little bit less than the Mishnah Yaakov. The Mishnah Yaakov thinks we pass like Rabbi Yehuda when the Shulchan Aruch says you cannot be Ma'ar B'Shus HaRabim Matzuras HaPesach. He's passing like Rabbi Yehuda that we say Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza, because if it would be like the Rabbanon, you could use Tzuras HaPesach, because Tzuras HaPesach is a Mechitza Bria. So it must be when the Shulchan Aruch said you can't be Ma'ar B'Shus HaRabim only with the Lossos, not with the Tzuras HaPesach. He's passing like Rabbi Yehuda that we say Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza, because for the Rabbanon it wouldn't be a problem. And the Bir Halacha assumes the same thing, but he thinks we only pass. He assumes that a Mechitza, Tzuras HaPesach is a Mechitza Bria. It's a strong Mechitza. The Rabbanan wouldn't say Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza. And then he thinks the Shulchan Aruch didn't even accept Rabbi Yehuda's opinion all the way. We are Machmir mid Rabbanan for Rabbi Yehuda's Shita that we say Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza. Really, Tzuras HaPesach would have been good around the Rishus HaRabim. Because for the Rabbanan, it's a Mechitza Bria. For Rabbi Yehuda, we don't really pass like Rabbi Yehuda. But we're machmir mid rabbanan for Yehuda that also rabbim mevatel mechitza even by mechitzas brios. So therefore, the Bir Halacha says since our whole reason that we don't allow Tzuras HaPesach around the Rishus HaRabim is mid rabbanan, he quotes like that from the Rambam. Since we only don't allow it mid rabbanan, so he says perhaps we can build Erevin nowadays al smach two things. Number one, you can really use Tzuras HaPesach around the Rishus HaRabim. It's only a problem with the Rabbanon. And since it's only a problem with the Rabbanon, we're not sure if we need Shishim Ribo or not. So we don't have Shishim Ribo. So the Mishnah Berurah says, since we don't have Shishim Ribo, and that's a suffix, whether or not you need Shishim Ribo or not, and the whole issue is only mid Rabbanon, because mid Arayta, so we don't say Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza, so the Bir Halacha says you can build an era based on the principle of suffix the Rabbanon Lakula. The whole issue of not using the Tzuras HaPesach is only mid Rabbanon. We're machmer for Yehuda's opinion, and we're not sure, maybe you need Shishim Ribo, maybe you don't. Even though we should be machmer on that, we'll say at least to build an Erev Tzafek the Rabbanon Lekula. That's how the Bir Halacha built Erevin. By the way, you will notice that is not the Rosh Hechter's explanation. The Bir Halacha and the Mishnah Berurah has a totally different explanation what our Erevin are based on. His Erev is based on the fact that the Tzuras HaPesach is a Mechitza Bria,
You never would say Asu Rabban for the Rabbanon, and even Rabbi Yehuda, when we machmir mid the Rabbanon, mid the Rabbanon, we could say you need Shishim Ribah and Safik the Rabbanon Lekua, whether or not you need Shishim Ribah or not. Rav Shechter and Chazanish disagreed with this basic assumption of the Mishnah Yaakov and the Mishnah Brura. They held, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that Asu Rabban Mumavata Mechisa, because the Chazanish won't be able to have that for his whole building's pshat. He can't hold like the Mishnah Yaakov. He says, we paskin lo Asu Rabban Mavata Mechisa, we paskin like the Rabbanon. So why can't I use Tzuras HaPesach around the Rishus HaRabim? Because the Tzuras HaPesach is a Mechitza Grua. Even the Rabbanon would agree there that you say Asu Rabban Mumavata Mechisa. So that's why you can't use the Tzuras HaPesach. So how then do we build Erevin around our neighborhoods? So what they rely on is what the Gemara said for Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara again asked the contradiction between Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said over here, Asu Rabban Mavata Mechista, but not over here. So the Rabbanon, the Gemara got out of it by saying, here's Shein Dal Mechitzas, here's no Shein Dal Mechitzas. But for Rabbi Yehuda, how could over here, you don't say Asu Rabban Mavata Mechista, but over here you would. So the Gemara answers, because over here Rabbi Yehuda holds, Pasi Biros, is only the Rabbanon. So, I'm sorry, is here he holds, but since you only need this lechi midarabanan, because Rabbi Yehuda holds these two mechitzos midarayis will make it into Rishus HaYachid, you only need this midarabanan, so since the whole mechitza is only necessary midarabanan, we don't say Asu Rabban about the mechitza and the mechitza that's necessary midarabanan. These mechitzos are necessary midarayis, so you say Asu Rabban about the mechitza. But if the mechitza is only necessary midarabanan, you don't say Asu Rabban Vad Mechista. That's the Gemara's explanation for Yehuda. So that's why he holds here Lo Asu Rabban, and here he holds Asu Rabban. Here these Mechitas are necessary in the Raisa. Here this is only necessary in the Rabbanim because two Mechitas are enough. And in Mechitas the Rabbanim, you don't say Asu Rabban Vad Mechista. So based on that, the Mordechai and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav all said, anytime you have a Karmelis, where you don't need the Mechitza Midaraisa, all you need is the Mechitza Midarabanan. So perhaps for Rabbi Yehuda even, you wouldn't say Asu Rabban Mavata Mechista. Certainly for the Rabbanon, it won't be a problem. If for Rabbi Yehuda it's not a problem, certainly for the Rabbanon it's not a problem. So therefore, they felt whenever you could declare the area Carmelis, you could build an area of a Tzuras HaPesach. But if you have a Rishus HaRabim there, then you wouldn't be able to use Tzuras HaPesach. So that's why if you have a highway or train tracks going through the area, that's a big, big issue. Because then you can't use Tzuras HaPesach, and you have to maneuver around it. All right, Shkayach Rabbi Tzai. Mir Hashem, this one is our Arab tour. I recommend that everyone...